funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Nope.
Oh, it's the day after.
Oh, come on.
November 1st.
Oh, happy
Thanksgiving.
It's not a solstice. It's a... what's the opposite of solstice?
Soul-sucking stist.
It's a winter solstice.
Christmas time.
No. It's a winter and a summer solstice.
Happy Easter.
Happy equinox.
Gotcha.
We're going to have an equinox pretty soon. Okay, never mind. Ignore me.
Isn't that a gym?
No.
They're expensive as hell, that gym.
Yeah, very fancy gym.
They are.
Well, there's once a year.
Can only pagans go to equinox gym?
Yes.
That's the rule.
Mm-hmm. And you have to wear some type of horn.
The longer you spend on the treadmill, the better your crops come in that season.
Yes. We have nailed paganism.
We've learned so much in the first minute of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. We are your sisters from an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Sam. I'm here with Kathleen.
Hello.
And Bethany.
Namaste.
So we're recording this right now on Halloween, which we know it's not right now, but hey, it's fun to play dress up.
Nope. Halloween's over. Time for Christmas.
Wow.
Kathleen ripped off her Halloween costume faster. There was a puff of smoke in the shape of a bear costume.
And you had the coziest costume. I would stay in that for the entire rest of the year.
I was a lazy girl this year because I wanted to be Regina George, but joke's on me. The dress that I wanted to wear that I bought 10 years ago didn't fit anymore. So at the last minute, I was like, bah, humbug. I'm just going to wear a bear sweatsuit.
That's actually what happened to everyone. Ebenezer Scrooge. That's why he hated Christmas.
Yeah.
He wanted to be Regina George.
He wanted to be Regina George.
You did set your, because you were going to be a zombie Regina George.
Yes, exactly.
You had a big, so when I came in this morning and you were wearing full bear,
yeah.
I was very shocked.
With the face, with grumpy cat face in a bear outfit. Mm-hmm. Although, if you do still want to do this next year with you and Neil, I know how you can take it to the next level because I saw it on BuzzFeed. It was the best thing ever.
What?
He dresses as the bus. There was a girl who put a cardboard box around her and she was the bus and she just ran into her friend in a boomerang and it was the funniest thing
Brilliant.
I had ever seen.
Wait, I don't get a bear bus?
No. Regina George.
Regina George.
Oh, Regina George. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Regina George in the bus.
And you guys looked pretty awesome with Scary as the ladies from Hocus Pocus.
Thank you.
I think Scary won of the three of us.
I think, Sam, your hair is perfect for this.
There's
our friend Dina.
Balls in there.
Put styrofoam balls in your hair to make the sort of heart-shaped hairstyle. Your makeup is
She's killer.
On point.
She's killer.
Yeah. I had the easy job. Scary had to dress like a woman. He was very upset all morning.
I think he was just upset he wasn't the sexy one. I think he was upset that was you.
Wait. He thought he was Sarah Jessica Parker.
You sort of maybe live in the same general area as Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, I think we live in the same-ish area to the point where like it would make sense that we might cross paths because I think that
I hope you bump into her on the way home
because Meg Ryan
in your costume
has Meg Ryan lives near here where we work,
yes.
I think, and I've passed her on my way home before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that I maybe would maybe pass. I'm going to walk home really
slowly. Wait a minute.
Slowly.
SJP has kids, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. They're of trick-or-treating age,
Marianne
right?
and Tabitha.
What has to be done is you need to go to the nearest big trick-or-treating areas today where you live abouts because that is where we have the highest probability of running.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Dressed as such.
Yep. So I'm going to stay dressed as Sarah Sanderson. Sarah Jessica Parker Sanderson, and try to get those trick-or-treating kids on. Oh, my God.
I love this. It's amazing. It's very exciting.
It's amazing.
I'm just going to try and find Bette Midler. Where do you think she is today?
I found out our friend Rob Shooter went to her Halloween party last night and didn't invite us. You never know when you realize you have a friend who has fabulous friends but never invites you to their fabulous friend stuff.
That's Rob Shooter. I'm mad at him now.
Anyway.
Okay, can we do a horrible segue? Because I don't know how to do an appropriate segue for this.
Yes.
Horrible segue.
Horrible segue. We got a very big email from a listener, and she would love some advice. We're going to call her Amy.
Okay.
Amy wants some little bit of advice. I'm going to read off the email, and then we are going to discuss.
Okay. Thank goodness we love to give horrible advice.
Not professionals.
It's not professionals. This is for entertainment purposes only. Please do not take our advice literally. If you are in a life crisis, please talk to a professional.
This is us talking to you as a friend, not us talking to you as someone with a degree.
Yeah.
All right. Amy writes, my boyfriends and I met working at... I had too much coffee and zero water. My boyfriend and I met working as camp counselors at sleepaway camp. We hit it off and things moved pretty quickly. He quickly became my best friend and we did everything together all summer. I completely adore him and we are so similar in every way. I know he is my person.
That's a storybook romance.
Oh. Right?
We were counselors at sleepaway camp.
After camp, he even spent nearly 3 weeks visiting my home with me and my family. However, he's from England and I'm from New Jersey.
Oh.
Hot. Our long-distance relationship is amazing, and I'm so proud of how well we've been making it work. I'm going to visit after Christmas for 2 weeks, but there is only one really big problem I don't know how to handle. His mother.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no.
It gets thick. Hold on.
Do you think she's dating Colin Firth?
That's the rest of the email. I'm dating Colin Firth.
I mean, I don't see the problem.
To back things up, halfway through the summer, he began telling his family about me on his phone calls home. On his birthday, he received a card from his mother warning him to not get too attached. Weeks later, he arranged time for us to have a Skype call with his parents so that I could meet them. I was super excited, and up to this point, I had always liked boyfriend's parents and have never had any boyfriend's parents not like me. Over the course of the Skype call, his mother essentially ignores the fact that I'm there and starts explaining how she's excited for her son to be back at university because she hopes he will meet a nice girl.
Wait, she's on the Skype call?
Correct.
Looking at the mother in frame with the mother and the mother's looking at
the son saying this. Correct.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I quietly left the room in tears, unknown to her, and let him finish his conversation. Okay, so I guess she was just out of frame at this point.
Ugh.
Okay. From here, the story only gets better. My boyfriend arranges for me to meet his family in person. His family decided to take a New York vacation at the end of my boyfriend's time in the States. So he planned for me to come along to meet them the day they arrived and the last day we would see each other for months. A week before New York, his mom told him on the phone she knows she will like me when she meets me, but that at the moment she just really didn't like me and didn't want to like me.
I'm sorry. Really?
That one part I do get. Well, hold on. We're getting in there, but okay, hold on.
I get it too.
I get that one part. The day came and it went surprisingly well. Yay, Amy. I was very nervous and she made a lot of somewhat rude comments about Americans.
Okay.
But I left feeling better about it. Just broad sweep Americans.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes I have rude things to say about Americans too, so I'm not faulting mom for that.
Okay. You and Ariana Grande.
Now, for about 2 months, I've had my trip to England planned. Then today, something happened that has me all nervous and worked up. His mother plans a family-only day for the day after I am set to arrive and has made it clear to my boyfriend it is only family and girlfriends are not invited. This is just sending me into an anxious state over a trip I was very excited for. I guess what I'm asking is, what is your advice for dealing with in-laws? Holy crap, Amy.
Okay.
Do you feel the anxiety? I feel it. First of all, well-written letter. Thank you for taking us on this adventure.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I don't think Amy is alone. I think there are a lot of people out there who face the same situation with their in-law families.
Yes. Well, okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to stop you and Amy right there. Not your in-laws.
That's right. They're not
married. Not your in-laws. We can't give you marriage advice because that is a serious commitment that you two have not taken.
Yeah.
Yes.
I understand that you're my person, though. Mm-hmm. I do get that. But
okay,
it sucks when you figure out that is your person and then you have this hurdle to get over.
I have a very specific angle on this that Amy doesn't seem to touch on at all.
Yeah, same. I think we are on the same page because I also have an angle that she doesn't touch on.
Yeah.
We don't have
a problem with mom.
No, what the hell is the boyfriend not doing?
This is the boyfriend's problem.
Yep.
Moms are issues regularly. Amy has not said once that he stood up for her.
Yep.
She did not say, mother might not have seen her leave the room in the Skype session, but he did.
Sure did.
He's supposed to make her feel better. So the fact that she didn't mention to us what he did to help her feel better in that situation or say like, mom, coming on a little bit strong or something. Mm-hmm. Is a red flag. I feel like she has love goggles. This is kind of an issue to me.
You know what? And even if she doesn't have love goggles, she might not realize what a good man should do in this situation. Because I think that I feel like the bar has been lowered in terms of what is good, acceptable, and frankly, behavior we should demand from our significant others, men and women. Mm-hmm. And that is, look, if you choose me as your partner, and we're just going to go ahead and assume that they've had that conversation and they've chosen each other as their partners.
I mean, they're doing long distance.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Then when there is a conflict with your family, you need to defend me, mm-hmm. especially when I don't have a relationship with your family yet.
And especially when opportunities are low for bonding a relationship. Right. You people live in different countries.
Yep.
You know, I've been the mom in this situation.
How so?
Oh my God, you won't let Cannoli hang out with that cat she's in love with?
Because I have a little brother who I am very absurdly strongly protective over. Mm-hmm. And I've been absurd. I know that I've acted absurdly. Like when Amy wrote the line in the email where the mother said, I know I don't like her right now, but I'll like her when I meet her. I identify with that because... Mm-hmm. Coming from the boyfriend's perspective, there may be things that he's saying to his mother that Amy maybe isn't in on or in her details about their relationship, that this is why the mother is behaving the way she is, mm-hmm. and Amy doesn't necessarily see why.
Yeah. Like what, for example?
Like
theoretically.
Theoretically, the boyfriend might be like, Mom, you know, Amy said that, like, really, she only ever wants to live in the United States. She's not willing to compromise. Or, Mom, you know, like, Amy said that it might be a really good idea that I transfer to the United States. I leave university and go to school in America. There might be things that he's saying to his mom that's prompting, not that it's nice.
It's a reason, it's not an excuse.
There might be other things going on under the surface that Amy doesn't necessarily see.
Sure.
Right. But even if that's never been a discussion, that's just a really real fear. Understandably so. Like, as the mother, I'd get that.
Yeah. I see that.
I'm protective with my little sister like this. Like, I admitted to her last month. She's been in a relationship for like 2 years with a wonderful, wonderful man. I love him very much. But I've been cold as hell for 2 years. I wasn't like, you know, rude. I just am not trying to make him my best friend.
Yeah.
And then they put in for a bid for a house together, and I started to flip. I flipped to the other side of the coin, and I let my little sister know, like, hey, this was not personal. He's never done anything. I like him very much. It's just that until he's part of the family, you are where my loyalty is.
Yeah.
You are where I want to protect. So if he does something wrong, I don't want to have qualms about punching a friend in the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense too.
I get Mom having fears and hesitations and whatever, but it's really like he's the one that's most accountable here. Mm-hmm. Like if it evolves from a problem there, if he keeps pushing and Mom won't let up, then Mom is a real problem. But right now, Mom's just the first domino. He's the entire body.
And also he needs to be able to stand up to his mother. And if he's one of those people who Mom is always going to be right, this is just the first of many problems that are going to present in your relationship. And you are always going to be the toothless one because mm-hmm. he's going to side with his mom.
Yeah.
I really hope the situation isn't that Amy's boyfriend is like, Mom, don't worry. She's just like a thing for now, which is why Mom does things like we're doing a family day because she knows that Amy is not necessarily a permanent installment in his life.
That probably like fizzles me. The biggest thing that pissed me off is when he let her leave the room and didn't like try and make amends with Mom and her about that then. But the family, like Mom, putting my foot down, family day has to be another day.
Yeah, that is a direct slap in the face.
Right?
Yeah.
What does she want her to do? Stay in the hotel or be a tourist for a day? That's really messed up.
Amy, you and your boyfriend, you and Colin Firth need to have a conversation. They need to have a come to Jesus because she is about to take a probably pretty expensive trip.
Yeah.
And she needs to know that they're both on the same page. Mm-hmm. And
It just seems like they're not.
I think that they're not. And I don't want them to fall into this trap of let the women handle it amongst themselves. Like he's not an impartial party in this. Mm-mm. He needs to take ownership of the issues and he needs to get on the same page with Amy and they need to figure this out together. And if he's not willing to do that, guess what, sweetie? Get a really awesome hotel when you go overseas and have a great solo trip, mm-hmm. but you need someone who's going to stand up for you.
Yeah.
And it's don't make excuses for why his behavior isn't protective of you. It should be.
And I'm going to say something that might not rub everyone the right way. Just because they were camp counselors, I'm assuming an age group. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in my late 20s. I'm past being a camp counselor. Mm-hmm. I feel like the romanticism around the situation is not helping.
Mm. Well, the American girl, the British boy, they met at summer camp.
Making out behind the cabins.
Yeah. I'm not trying to take away from their connection.
Yeah.
They might be soulmates. I don't believe in soulmates, but what if they are? I'm just saying with the information that I have, it's possible. Like, I dated a guy I didn't like from Philly for 6 months because I thought it was romantic. I had to take a train to see him.
Yeah. Like, don't let the past speak for the future or for the present.
Don't get travel goggles. Just because you guys could be the next Mary-Kate and Ashley movie, do not. Let that.
What was the London one?
The one in Paris with Lance Bass?
Well, Passport to Paris,
Passport!
Obviously. And then Holiday in the Sun was the Bahamas. And then Australia was, Sydney something.
Good night, kite.
Landing London.
I could never figure out by the end of the movie which of the two gentlemen I was more attracted to.
Oh, it's so hard.
I know.
I hope that Amy sort of has a come to Jesus moment because she needs to figure out if she's just a landing spot for her British boyfriend when he comes to the United States, a place to stay.
That's harsh and sad, and I hope it's not true, but 100% legit, Kathleen.
Very astute.
Yeah.
Oh, Amy. And one more thing, and then whatever. I also don't, like, if you put a lot of effort into something, a marriage, for example, if you've been together for like 10 years, let's say, and you start to encounter some problems, that's worth fighting for, right? Because you've made that commitment. However, if your story is really good, but the relationship isn't really good, don't hold on to it because of the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because take a moment and slice the story away for how you met. And now just take your relationship right now in the present. How do you feel about it?
Yeah.
How does he treat you? What do your friends see from the outside? Mm-hmm. That might peel away some of the romantic rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. And know that qualities evolve. So my worst habits right now, unless I do something hardcore to revocate them, are going to be worse-er habits when I'm married and in my late 50s. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it goes. So there are people in very happy marriages. Let's say, Amy, we continue forward and you guys are soulmates and you take it to the next level. There are people in very happy, healthy marriages with horrible in-laws.
Yeah.
It sucks, but it's definitely a hurdle, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
It's not, but no, if your mother-in-law is perfect and the communication with your husband is not there and he's not your active champion all the time, including when it has to do with his family, that's going to unravel.
Yeah, it's not about the in-laws, it's about the partner.
Yeah, he's letting these problems happen. She starts them and then they continue. He has a little more power than I think he's taking ownership of.
Yeah. Oh, Amy, I hope it goes okay. And please have a conversation with him. Please let us know how it goes if that's what you decide to do. I wish I knew when her trip was. Does she say?
Trip to England plan. No.
She sent this email fairly recently.
Yeah,
so it probably is coming up soon.
I'm going to visit after Christmas for 2 weeks.
Okay. So she has some time. So yeah, I would have some conversations.
I'd kind of politely demand an appropriate Skype session with him and mom.
And him first.
Oh, him first. But like before I go there, I need some civil time with both of you.
But Amy, if you figure out that maybe this is not the guy for you and you still have that plane ticket, by all means, go on the trip.
Yes, go.
Yes!
Yes! Solo vacation. They are the best. Mm-hmm. Okay, go.
Yeah.
All the passion is coming out of Bethany.
London at Christmas time. Hello.
The best. And maybe you meet a gent.
Yes.
And maybe he stays in your hotel room with you overnight.
Mm-hmm. Don't fall in love with him overnight, though.
No, don't fall in love with him.
I know. I'm just saying.
But maybe you make a friend who now lives overseas, and maybe he still has a girlfriend like now, but he was single when you met, and you're still friends on Instagram, and sometimes you DM each other and say, hey, what's up? Didn't we have fun that time a couple years ago when I went to London and hung out with you?
And maybe you're a famous American actress, and you bump into a guy that owns a bookshop, and you end up falling in love.
Yeah. Little town, it's a quiet village. I don't know why that's where my brain went.
Anyway, we hope things go well with Colin Firth because he is so talented.
Mm-hmm. Rugged.
There's always Robert Pattinson when Colin's not around.
Can we really quickly touch on something that has been going on in the news, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It was recently brought back into our personal sphere because of our friend Carla Marie, who used to work here.
Yes.
So it's about the whole hashtag Me Too thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Kathleen, this was really important, especially that you wanted to make sure that we talked about it.
Yeah. You know, it was sort of a weird situation. A few years ago, I had one of these, oh my God, why did my memory block that out? And when I was five in kindergarten in a different town from where I grew up, there was a little boy who was putting his hands down the back of my pants during story time. And my parents moved to a different town, a slightly softer town, because of that and, you know, a few other reasons. But I forgot about this whole thing for years. I just forgot. I just had no memories of it. And then in my early 20s, I was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Why didn't I remember this throughout all of my teens? Me Too.
Mm-hmm.
And I put Me Too on Facebook and on Twitter on the day when everybody was putting Me Too. When, you know, people were really opening up conversations about being touched when you didn't give permission to be touched. And then I took it down and I thought, I'm not going to put it up. It's like, wasn't that bad. And I was five and I'm not like scarred from it. It's just like something that happened. But I was thinking, if this happened to me in my professional life, as a child, I spoke up.
Yep.
But as an adult, you have so much more to lose.
Yep.
And I don't know if I would speak up.
Our friend Carla Marie, you can go to her Facebook. She talks about it at the Carla Marie on Facebook. So she was at a game yesterday?
Yeah. She was at a Seahawks game in Seattle.
And a man, she got separated from her friends as she was walking, and a man grabbed her around the waist and started pulling her away towards his friends.
Yeah.
And she screamed at him. She got the employees to come. The employees asked, do you want us to call the police? And as I was reading that comment at her story, I was waiting for her to say, no, don't call the police. And I was so afraid that's what I was going to read.
Yeah.
And she said, yep, call the police.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was so proud of her. And the police came. They all believed her. No one asked her what she was wearing or what she'd been doing to provoke it.
Yeah.
They all believed her, and it scared the hell out of the guy, which is exactly what should have happened.
Yeah.
And I'm so sad that happened to Carla Marie, but I am so proud of her because she is so strong and so she has a platform to let other people know. And I was texting her last night and I said, I think that you changed some people's minds because they see you as a friend and you don't want your friend to be treated this way.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of women would have pushed the guy away and then just brushed it off as a minor incident and not spoken up.
Yeah.
And this is how we get the ball rolling. This is how you kind of stop it from the bottom up.
She, it evolved, and it was so, like, she was a mini superhero in this case because she did not get her, you know, she wasn't touched and pulled over and then started going crazy. It evolved. She reacted to the situation. She demanded accountability, not punishment, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So when the guy pulled her over and she was like, you can't touch me when I don't want to be touched, and the guy started to laugh, she began to elevate. She did not start kicking and screaming, yelling police. She's like, "Are you? No, this is not funny. This isn't okay. You put your hands on me and that's not, I didn't give you permission."
Mm-hmm.
They told her to calm down. She was overreacting. They didn't mean anything by it. And then she's like, fine, if you don't, in her mind, she's going, if you don't recognize what you did and how it's not okay, I'm going to bring someone else in, security. They still didn't get it. Police. Like, she demanded the attention that it deserved. And we recently listened to this guy said something to us at this public forum, and it totally stuck with me. And it's something a lot of people confuse it for. To paraphrase, taking the high road is a cop out sometimes.
Mm.
Like, if someone touches you, you can say, ooh, he was a creep. Ugh, he had problems. I'm going to take the high road.
And brush it off.
And brush it off. not what the high road was invented for. Not appropriate. Mm. Like, that's not what it is. You stand up for yourself, and by doing that, you're standing up for other people. Carla Marie did so much more than just demand accountability from this one dude, like you guys said.
Big incidences account, small incidences account, you know.
I was listening to an interview with the woman who actually invented the term sexual harassment, and I forget her name, and she deserves credit for that. Yeah. But she was saying, we need to stop making it pretty. We need to stop the conversation from being too gentle.
Were you listening to NPR on Sunday?
I sure was.
Yeah, I was listening to that interview.
Because when you say things like, I was sexually harassed, it sort of like puts this cloak around it. But when you say, he touched my breasts, he put his hand between my thighs. He, do you remember the pizza delivery guy? He came to my apartment.
Oh my God.
And started kissing my neck.
That's right.
Like,
oh my God.
He slid his tongue along my neck.
Yeah. Oh my.
It needs to be said.
Yeah.
So that people understand what this means. And at the end of the day, no one should be touching anyone.
No.
Just don't touch someone.
Mm-mm.
It's not about whether or not a victim comes forward. It's not about whether or not somebody was asking for it, which is still said and seems so antiquated. But someone on our Facebook page said that Anthony Rapp, like, what was he doing at a party?
When he was 14. Yeah,
right. Yeah, isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible?
That's not what the story is about.
No.
The story is about Kevin Spacey, allegedly, or whomever, should not have been touching the person in the first place.
Yeah.
That's what we need to remember the conversation is about.
Yeah. And it doesn't apply for some people. Will just never get it.
Yeah,
I know this. I have to accept this. Doesn't make it okay to stop pushing or trying to teach them.
Yeah,
but some people never get it. But for the people on the cusp of maybe getting it, take this exact story that happened to Carla Marie, and it's your mother.
Yeah, or your sister.
Or would you? So let's say you're a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Would you touch another guy that way at a game? Would you take another guy, put your hand around his waist, and start pulling him towards your buddies in a sexual manner?
Aren't you?
No. So why are you doing it to a woman?
It's just
you don't know,
right?
I mean, it doesn't matter that you don't know or know her. That I don't even know why I said that. It really doesn't matter whether you know her or you don't know her.
This applies. We've touched on this. This applies in relationships. If you're not in the mood to be touched or have sex, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't apologize.
Yep.
This is such a giant cloak that turns into so many micro problems with different definitions. It's the simplest thing, though.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be touched, that's up to you. That's fine. That's normal. It's f***ed up when people on the other end can't understand that.
Just keep your hands to yourself.
No.
So if there's something going on with you at work or at a club that you belong to or anywhere, a church group, and someone is treating you a way that's not appropriate in a sexual manner that you have said no, or even if you haven't said no, a way that is just not... I don't even know the word I'm looking for.
You don't have... Even if you have not been like, hello, sir, no... Like, even if you haven't been concrete about it, you have every right to either say to that person to stop or to find someone to help you.
Yeah.
Talk it out.
And look, if something has happened to you and you never felt safe coming forward, it doesn't mean you're weak. The fact that you're still surviving makes you strong. It's okay. The focus needs to be on the people who are doing this to other people.
Yeah.
So knock it off. If you're walking around touching people willy-nilly, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone says no, stop.
Yep. Carla Marie opted not to get him arrested, but he got kicked out of the game. And she kept saying, I'm not looking for a punishment. I just want him to recognize what he did.
And she said in her story, too, she said all of his friends left him, which I love.
That was perfect. Good.
I pray that one day we live in a world where women, when they're harassed like this or sexually assaulted, that they don't feel that they need to keep quiet because they have too much to lose.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe this Me Too hashtag is getting the ball rolling on
that. Mm-hmm. And men too, because as we see with the Kevin Spacey situation, it's men too. So, love each other, but from afar.
Mm-hmm. Keep your hands in your own pockets.
Keep your hands in your pockets unless someone is like, hey, let's hug.
I love that. Should we go around the room?
Yeah.
Say what we learned this week.
Yeah, let's say what we learned this
week. It's a lot, right? Anyone else's stomachs feel a little churned up right now?
Yeah.
There's a lot of thought going on in that last, half of the podcast.
Yeah, but I think it's important. And Kathleen, I'm glad that you wanted to talk about it because
important conversion to have.
Yeah.
And thank you, Carla Marie. And I'm sorry, Carla Marie, and all the things, Carla Marie.
And I'm so proud of you, Carla Marie.
Yeah.
I'm pissed.
If you want to read more about her story, head over to at the Carla Marie on Instagram because she detailed it in more in depth.
Yeah. And also you can find links to her kittens. So
yeah,
the good with the bad.
They're amazing.
Okay.
Okay.
So I can start with what I learned this week.
What'd you learn this week, Bethany?
I learned that you need to do what is the best use of your time. Mm-hmm. So it's the dumbest reason why I learned this, but it really made sense, broad scope. My kitten has one eye. I really wanted to make an eye patch for her for Halloween. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to make an artisanal eye patch. I'm going to take cardboard. I'm going to craft it into a certain shape. I'm going to make it soft yet supple. Blah, blah, blah. And then I realized, okay, that's really stupid. She's never going to wear it.
Yeah.
So I already had an eye patch because obviously, and I literally just folded it in half and then I tacked it. I didn't even make it look pretty because for one picture, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And it took me way less time than if I had created an artisanal bespoke eye patch specifically for Minerva, crafted out of a, I was going to be a guitar pick. I mean, it was just, do what is going to be needed for the time that you have it in and don't try to panic and make it always perfect.
Good enough is good enough sometimes. You know what's really funny? I'm so not classy that when Bethany said I was going to make an artisanal eye patch for my cat, my brain went, she's going to make an eye patch made of cheese? Like fancy cheese?
That's probably the misuse of the word artisanal. I think I meant bespoke. How embarrassing.
Artisanal, my brain went charcuterie.
It's probably like, charcuterie.
That was my definition of artisanal.
Some slice of French bread. Like, I meant bespoke.
Weird.
I hate it when I get those words confused.
Charcuterie?
Charcuterie eye patch. That sounds lovely.
Samantha, salami. What did you learn this week?
I learned that it's important to plan ahead and price things out in advance because the costumes that I wanted, this is a blatant thing, but for Halloween, the costume I wanted this year was really expensive when you bought the good one. No disrespect to like the Halloween costumes that are mass produced, but if you wanted a good one, it was expensive. And I was like, nah, I'll just make it. And I started to price out last night all of the things I had to buy to like put this costume together and plus like labor. I probably should have just bought the damn costume.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to save money and I'm just going to barely save money, it turns out, and spend 7+ hours.
Yeah, sometimes your time is worth a little bit more money.
Figure it out in advance if that's your MO, like mine was.
DIY is almost always more expensive because you have to buy in bulk to for a tiny little thing.
Yeah, it's maddening.
Kathleen would know. She's the DIY
I would
queen.
Know. You know, I was helping a friend with a wedding project and she goes, well, I need this, this, and this. And I said, girl, I got all of it. And I got it in plenty because I've already spent my money.
That's when you start saving money is when you're going to make 18 bouquets of paper flowers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's like one.
Exactly. Yeah.
What'd you learn this week, Kathleen?
I learned that if you have a big event and you need something to wear, everybody's first instinct is to go out and buy something. It certainly is my first instinct. And I had a wedding to go to this weekend and I bought like 8 dresses in the mail.
You mass buy though with intent to return.
Always with the intent to return. People who work at retail shops hate me when I come in with 13 different items to return.
Got another one from Kathleen.
Oh, yeah. And I ended up just wearing something that was in my closet that I already knew fit, that was comfortable, that I liked the color. And so if you have a wedding or a holiday party this time of year to go to, just look deep inside your closet.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to spend the money.
Sounds and so deep.
This is also why if you're out shopping and you see something that's crazy on sale and you're like, I don't know when I'm going to wear this, but it's a $10 dress at Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah.
Buy it.
Yeah. Especially if it's classic.
Yeah. Because you will be so grateful in 6 months when you have a wedding to go to and you're like, oh, thank God. Always buy the thing that's $10 that you don't know when you'll wear it because you will find a way to wear it.
That's my holiday party jumpsuit this year. I've had it since right after last holiday because the store was closing down. I'm like, damn, I can't wear this fabric now, but holy crap, I'm going to get into this velvet in about a year.
Oh, hell yeah.
Super excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Take the tags off that puppy.
So that's this week's, it's a loaded acquired taste podcast.
Woo.
Amy, let us know how everything goes. We really hope it goes well.
We're on your side, girl.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah. And we're not pessimistic. We're just protective. Yes. So it's possible that he's perfect for you and everything will be great.
Yep.
And this is a bump. Mm-hmm. But just don't put blinders on.
Yeah.
And keep your hands to yourself.
We love you.
And don't be afraid to smack someone else's hand away.
Yes. Use words first, though. Otherwise, you're going to be on an assault charge and no one's going to pay attention to what you're saying.
No.
Just say no.
No.
You can follow us on Twitter @AcquiredPodcast.
On Instagram @AcquiredTastePodcast.
and on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
And also, please make sure to watch my web series. Go to labeledseries.com.
We are filming.
Thank you.
I binged it. So there's 4 episodes now, right?
4 episodes are out, plus a blooper reel.
And I hung out with one of your cameos over the weekend.
With Brian Rip?
Yes.
Oh, he's lovely.
He's so funny.
He's very funny in this episode.
I'm a big
fan. Got a good cast.
He's great. And then we're filming episode 5 this weekend. So if you follow us on Labeled Series on all the social medias, you can see behind the scenes. And then episode 5 will be out soon.
We love you guys so much. Send us emails you want us to talk about, not you know, fluff you about. We're going to talk about it because you're our friend. So real talk.
The dirty details.
Listen, rate, subscribe on iTunes. That helps us a lot. It helps push us up the rankings if you subscribe, especially.
Yeah. And keeps us employed.
Yeah.
Can we do one more thing?
Yeah.
Can we request another fruit salad emoji from people who would come if they're in the tri-state area if we have an event?
Yes.
Asking for a friend?
Yes. Leave us Twitter or Instagram, leave us a piece of fruit emoji.
Yeah.
We might be trying something.
Okay.
We love you.
Love you.
Bye.